I'm excited to tell you about a guest we're going to have tomorrow. He's world-renowned, spoke all over the world, and he's got a real ministry talking about integrity, character, trust. And he's going to talk tomorrow on the podcast about integrity, character, and trust. And his name is President Joe Biden. How does that feel? How does that taste? Yeah, that's where we're going today. Wake the faith up, Slayer. Garth Heckman, the David Alliance. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. It was packed, slammed. Been a busy week. Tons of spiritual warfare going on in my life. How's your life going? I hope it's not like mine. Mine has been pretty crazy. But you know what? God's already won, so I'm rejoicing in advance for all that he's done. Hey, reach out to me at tdagiantslayer@gmail.com. Thanks for checking out the podcast if you're a first-time listener. If you would rate the podcast as well, regardless of whether you listen to it on Google or Podbean or iTunes, helps people find it. Also, we're brought to you by Well Built Body, gym apparel for men and women that rock and shock. It ain't for everybody, but it just might be for you. WellBuiltBody.com. Let's jump into it. So if you heard our beloved president stand up and he was going to give a speech on integrity and character and trust, how would that taste in your mouth? For me, now, first of all, this is not a political rant. I love our president. I pray for him all the time. I do not agree with just about anything he does. And it is very well proven fact that he is a plagiarist, a liar, and deceitful. So if he was going to talk about how to have integrity, character, honesty, and he was going to speak on why we should never lie, it would be pretty hard to swallow, right? Well, what's funny to me is every time Paul in the New Testament writes a letter to one of the churches, he's writing regarding things that they're doing wrong, error, poor theology, sins in the church, and yet his past is quite amazing. It's crazy. So if you got a letter from someone like Paul and said, hey, Garth, I'm writing you because there are some problems in your life, and this guy was a philanderer, a cheater, a liar, a murderer, you'd be like, whoa, hold the phone there, Bucky. Imagine the churches that received letters from Paul. You got to understand, Paul was the dude who tormented and persecuted and made it hard to be a Christian. He got special dispensation from the high priest to go around with a letter saying, if you call yourself a Christian, I get to drag you out of your house, persecute you, beat you, possibly kill you. When Stephen was stoned in the first few chapters of Acts, it said that after they stoned Stephen, they took his coat and brought it to the feet of a young Pharisee named Saul. That would be Paul before he was converted. And they, as like, you know when a cat brings you a mouse, a dead mouse, like, hey, look what I killed for you. That was kind of it. Like, Saul, look what we did look what we did for the nation of Israel. Look what we did for Judaism. We killed this guy, Stephen, who believes in Jesus. So when you look at Saul, before he was a Christian, you understand that even he knew his past. He says in Galatians 1:13, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He also made havoc for the church in Acts 8:3. He went into every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He breathed out threats, Acts 9:1 through 12. He slaughtered against the disciples. He went on and on. And, you know, here's the deal. We see that even Ananias, once Paul had that Damascus Road experience where Jesus shows up, Paul then is blind and waiting for someone to come talk to him about Christ. And God tells Ananias, go talk to this man, Paul. His name was Saul at the time. And Ananias, this is how fearful, this is how dreaded of a past that Saul had. Ananias argues with God. That's how much people didn't trust Paul. So Paul's writing a letter, you know, hey, to the saints in Thessalonica, to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Corinth. And people got to be going, wait a second, who are you to write me? Ananias won't even go see him. He's arguing with God. He finally does. And then we even see that after Paul's conversion, the disciples in Jerusalem, they didn't even want to be around him. The Christians in Jerusalem, they didn't trust him. Now, here's a quick insight. Paul, as a Pharisee, was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a tyrant in keeping the law. Remember, the law is the Ten Commandments that the Pharisees then took and turned into 613 commandments. There's a lot to follow. So somewhere, I believe, Paul himself was dealing with shame. Paul, who knew the first five books of the Bible, who was a stickler for every detail, he had to himself be dealing with shame in that, I can't keep up with this, I can't do this, nobody can do this. But rather than come to the realization at first, he takes it out on other people. You know, people who deal with shame, they can very much become tyrants and expect the best out of you, and they can be drivers and perfection, and it's out of their own shame. So Paul carries this, and then he becomes a follower of Christ. Da-ding! Jesus shows up. Paul then changes his behavior and basically, understand this, he's no longer ashamed. Why? He's not ashamed of his past because he's no longer his past. Some of you listening today, you deal with shame. Guess what? You need to just tell yourself, I'm not ashamed of my past because I'm no longer my past. In fact, you're not today, you're your future. You know, when someone shows you a picture of, I'm training someone right now who lost over 140 pounds, they show you a picture before and a picture after, and it's crazy because no one looks at that picture and says, I can't believe you were so fat. You should be ashamed of yourself. No, just the opposite. Everyone goes, whoa, look at how much weight you lost. But why do we shame ourselves? Nobody else would, but we still shame ourselves. This world is dealing with a ton of shame. What does a coach say about the great performers? One of the key things they say about the great quarterback or pitcher or basketball player is he's got a short memory. He can miss shot after shot. He can throw bad pitch after bad pitch. He can throw an interception, but he's got a short memory. How does Paul start out this letter? How does he start out his letters? It's usually like this. I, Paul, the guy who was called by Jesus, and yes, I ransacked the church and I tore down the doors and I threw people in the streets and I killed people and you know, I got special dispensation to torture people, and I know I'm not perfect, but nobody is. And anyway, I'm writing to you. He doesn't start the letters that way. Why? Because he dealt with it. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count myself to not have apprehended this, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are. Press towards the mark. If you're dealing with shame, you've been forgiven. Forget the past, press towards the future, and know that shame is the enemy. God is the answer. Now, keep slaying giants.